it's really hard to overstate just how important the nighttime economy is.
London is one of the cultural capitals of the world. If we don't ensure that what we have survives, then London will be poorer for it.
About 1 in 8 jobs in the city are nighttime economy jobs.
The nighttime economy across London, and not just in the central activity zone, is actually going to be a crucial part of London's recovery.
Hello and welcome to Future of London's City Bites podcast, where we share the knowledge, leadership and connections that are core to FOL's 5,000 plus strong placemaking network. Future of London is the capital's independent network for built environment practitioners, spanning regeneration, housing, infrastructure and economic development. I'm Bhavna Brookert, Spatial Planning Programme Lead at TfL, and I'm also a Future of London alumni representative. Future of London's alumni network is a 600 plus strong group of those who have been through one of our leadership courses and are making an impact on London's built environment. FOL's alumni are delivering the housing, town centre, regeneration and infrastructure projects that continue to make the capital even better. Today we'll be speaking to Letty Lucy from Arab and Mark Inger from the GLA about the role of London's nighttime economy and how it's been impacted by the pandemic.
Over to you, Mark.
Thanks, Bhavna. So I'm Mark Inger. I'm a policy and research officer at the Greater London Authority, and I work in the 24-hour London team, and we are trying to achieve the Mayor's vision for a truly 24-hour city.
Letty?
Thanks, Bhavna. Yes, my name's Letty Lucy. I'm an economist and social value specialist at Arup. We're a built environment consultancy, and a lot of my work revolves around built environment projects in and around London, particularly looking at the wider impacts of development on communities, as well as creating a more inclusive economy in the capital.
Thank you both for introducing yourselves. So jumping straight into the questions, the first question is all about setting the scene. So after nearly 2 years of restrictions, where we've been in and out of lockdowns, seen changes in rules and restrictions, which have had huge impacts on London, can you briefly set out why the nighttime economy is important when it comes to the built environment sector, and particularly in London? So it's all about things like travel behaviour, changes that we've seen in cities and towns. Letty, can I come to you first?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really hard to overstate just how important the nighttime economy is to the culture and character of London, and particularly central London. There's research to say that about 1 in 8 jobs in the city are nighttime economy jobs. Around 200,000 jobs are in nighttime economy sectors. But I think often we'll fall into the trap of thinking that these are just sort of retail or bars, restaurants, arts and entertainment jobs. But actually, that's just a small fraction of those jobs and of that economic pattern. So it's actually much more dominated by those in the logistics and storage, health, accommodation sectors as well. And it's just completely integral to London's kind of economic system. That's not to say that the cultural part that it has to play is insignificant. One of the main reasons that London attracts so much talent and investment is because of its ability to kind of bring people from all across the world together, and making it a hugely diverse place, and an enjoyable, fun place to be at night as well. And that ability to kind of draw people to the city is really important to the kind of overall economic system of the capital, both during the day but also at night.
Great, thanks, Letty. Mark, is there anything else you'd like to add, your reflections?
Yeah, I mean, we know from our own research that before the pandemic, there was 1.6 million Londoners working at night. So not necessarily working all at the same time, but usually working at night. So that's a third of our workforce. We know that two-thirds, 65% of Londoners were regularly active at night, and that was doing all sorts of things like running personal errands, socialising, enjoying culture, and you know, just to say that the approach we take to nighttime at City Hall is very much a holistic one. So whilst nighttime economy in the traditional sense is important when we think about the kind of leisure side of nighttime economy, we're very focused on how London operates across the 24-hour period, and particularly that 12-hour period between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. So, you know, it's looking at how London operates at nighttime. You know, what's it like for kind of people working at night? What's it like for people working in the NHS? And, you know, this all feeds into the nighttime economy because people use the nighttime economy regardless of what they're doing at night. So, you know, if you're working in a hospital at night, you're going to use the nighttime economy in some kind of way. And I guess the pandemic's had a massive impact on the nighttime economy, because it was the first to close and the last to reopen. And I don't think we're really truly going to see the full impact of that probably until later this year. I think some of the kind of government help that was given to businesses over the last 2 years has kind of kept them from kind of disappearing. But, you know, that may change in the coming months. So I think we still haven't seen the full effect of that yet. But in terms of how important it is to the recovery of London, it's vital. You know, where people have been spending more time in their local areas over the pandemic, and we're seeing the kind of hybrid working model kind of taking root on a more permanent basis, I think that nighttime economy across London and not just in the central activity zone is actually going to be a crucial part of London's recovery. And what we're trying to do is make sure that that high street recovery has nighttime at the centre of that. And that's why we're doing things like encouraging boroughs to develop nighttime strategies. It's why we've recently announced a new programme of nighttime enterprise zones, because we really see this, and importantly, the mayor sees this as an important part of London's recovery.
Thanks, Mark. You moved nicely into my next question, actually. So I'll come back to you. Building on your previous answers, what are the specific challenges on the built environment? You know, things like you mentioned, the high streets, transport, other types of developments, empty units. Please share some of the work you've been doing that you're involved in around that.
Yeah, so high streets, I mean, there's the obvious thing about vacant units and how safe an area feels at nighttime. And I think that if there's more vacant units, then people tend to feel less safe. It's a perception thing. Actually, you know, London is quite safe at nighttime. In fact, it's very safe at nighttime, but if people don't feel safe, then that's an issue. And that's something we're trying to address, particularly when we're talking about women's safety. And that's why we've set up a Women's Night Safety Charter. And we're trying to get businesses and organisations that operate at night to kind of sign up to the principles of that. So perception of safety is important, as well as the reality. We are working on the Nighttime Enterprise Zone programme because we want to try and make areas at nighttime, you know, function across a whole array of areas. So it's not just about staying open later or keeping the pubs open later. It's about making sure that if you want to do your shopping at 9 p.m. at night, you can do that. It's about making sure that if you want to get home from a shift, you can do that easily. There are many challenges around transport at the moment. As we know, you know, we need a sustainable funding agreement from government with regards to TfL, and that's going to be important going forward. Night Tube, we feel, is a really important part of London's transport offer. You know, it only runs on Fridays and Saturdays, but it's had a huge impact. It's really important that we maintain that.
Building on transport and kind of the shift where people are spending afternoons and evenings, and what have you seen in central London to outer London in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, building on the point that Mark mentioned about these new hybrid work patterns, although obviously the central core kind of activity zone in London is still a huge part of where jobs are held in London, obviously we are seeing people spending much more time in their home locations, and that again reflects the point that Mark was making, that actually inviting more people to use their high streets and their local retail and local food and beverage outlets in the evening and nighttime hours, and even early mornings as well, is a really important part of London's recovery. And we are increasingly seeing people and footfall spending more time, particularly on Mondays and Fridays, in those outer London and more residential areas. I think it's important, the point around sort of what changes that we saw in during COVID are going to stick around. So I think the trend towards outdoor dining and how we use streets and streetscapes, and particularly into the night. So obviously we saw the changes, particularly in Soho, where there was quite a lot of pedestrianisation of streets. And I think that type of shift towards how we use our roads and our public realm in both during the day, but also at night, is something that is going to play part in how the nighttime economy changes. It links also to the kind of shift in logistics and how we service those retail and food and beverage outlets. So how do they get their goods in? How do they get their waste collected when there's pedestrianisation? And a lot of that servicing takes place at night. So when we're thinking about how the built environment develops and how we can both facilitate that nighttime economy, but also ensure that the streets are clean and pleasant and safe, promoting active travel, etc. I think trying to balance all those different agendas will be really important.
So thinking about the last 2 years and the restrictions we've had, some of the things we've seen, some of the effects on London, do you think these could have impacts on London's cultural identity? And if we don't tackle these challenges, what could happen?
We would say London is one of the cultural capitals of the world. And if we don't ensure that what we have survives, then London will be poorer for it. You know, a lot of the culture and leisure that we experience in London takes place at night. You know, particularly in the central activity zone, it's absolutely essential that we make sure that even though the working patterns have changed and people may be spending less time in the centre of London, we need to make sure that there's a reason for people to go back into central London, and culture can play a big role in that. You know, whether it's music, theatre, you know, we've got an amazing theatre offer in London, one of the best music scenes in the world, and a great food scene as well. So, you know, we need to make sure there are reasons for people to go back into central London. As Letty was referring to, there is a whole host of issues that feed into this. And by getting boroughs to think more holistically and working cross-departmentally on this, I think we can have a much better approach to how we plan and manage our areas at night time across London. And it needs a combined approach. It needs people from different teams within councils, even within regional government as well, you know, at City Hall. We need to be looking at night time across the piece. We can't just be looking at it through the lens of culture, or we can't just look at it from licensing. We can't just look at it from safety and policing. All of these things interlink. And in terms of the built environment, that's going to have an impact.
I think just to build on that, particularly in central London, where footfalls are generally a lot higher, particularly cultural offerings for more marginalised groups, for example, those from ethnic minority backgrounds or from the LGBTQ+ community, that is where in historically a lot of their cultural and arts and entertainment venues have been located, simply because they sort of have grouped there in the past. I think what's important is to ensure that those venues are protected and that those groups feel safe and welcomed in those areas. It's important to ensure that culture and nighttime economy and nighttime entertainment is kind of accessible throughout the city. But those areas, I'm thinking sort of Soho, Vauxhall, Kennington, those areas which particularly accommodate those more marginalised groups, is really, really important to ensuring that culture is truly diverse and accessible.
So moving on to opportunities, all restrictions have now been lifted. What is the landscape? Is it simply returning to the way things were, or are there new opportunities for London's nighttime economy going forward?
Yeah, I think absolutely there are opportunities going forward. I think what's clear is that people appreciate the nighttime economy. You know, the experience we had in lockdown of not being able to use it as often and the potential threat of it not being there altogether has made us realise that this is a valued part of London life, as I'm sure it is in many cities around the world. So I don't think we can go back to how things were previously. you know, the way we adapted and did things like alfresco dining, using our public spaces more at nighttime, that all feeds into what we're trying to achieve on the 24-hour London programme at City Hall. It's about how we utilise and diversify our city at nighttime more. And I think, as I said previously, this isn't about just, well, let's shift opening hours later. This is about how we plan and manage our city at nighttime in a way that benefits people from all backgrounds. You know, whether you're working at night, whether you're sleeping at night, you know, that's equally as important. You know, it's got to work for everybody. And I think previously, maybe we, you know, we planned and managed our city at night according to the daytime. We can't ignore the fact that, you know, nighttime is half of our life. The more we take notice of this and the more we try and have that holistic approach to our city at night, I think, you know, the more beneficial it will be, both on an experience level, but also economically. You know, there's got to be an economic benefit to making sure that our city at nighttime works for everybody.
Thanks, Mark. Lizzie?
Thanks, Bhavna. There's several opportunities that I can see in some of the work and things that we're seeing being developed. I think one of the silver linings of the kind of increasing awareness of issues around women's safety at night is a much more intelligent approach to placemaking and public realm development amongst boroughs. So really ensuring that you've got a really strong and inclusive lighting strategy in your town centres, and particularly at transport hubs and people, that is no longer a sort of nice to have. That is a prerequisite to ensuring safety, not just for women and girls, but for all groups. I think that the other important thing that we're seeing is the opportunities coming out from the declining retail high streets is these new vacant units, and these present huge opportunities in terms of making better use of these underused assets, whether that be through pop-up shops at night, or whether it's through events or clubs or just spaces for people to meet and groups to exchange ideas after work, pop-up lectures, pop-up dinner clubs, etc. So I think although we are, as a result of the pandemic and increasing trends towards online shopping and with increasing vacant retail spaces, I think there are, on the counter to that, there are increasing opportunities for nighttime economy to make really great use of some of those assets.
If I can come in on that as well and just say, I agree with everything Letty just said. I think also it's worth pointing out, though, that the more we use our city at night, the more people that are going to be working at night, and we really have to concentrate on the experience of night workers. You know, they've traditionally been lower paid workers, have fewer, you know, worker rights in many ways, and we have to focus on that. We have to make sure that the experience of people working at night in London is taken into consideration. We have to make it a better experience. We have to make it a safer experience. And that's something that's at the heart of our new nighttime enterprise zone program, for example. We're really asking boroughs to think about that. What is the experience of night workers in your borough, in your area? How can you make sure that their working standards are higher than they were previously?
I think building on that, Mark, the point around travel and commuting is one to also mention here. So I believe half of night bus users are actually using them to commute. And obviously with TfL's bus review consultation, which is currently taking place, there are several night routes and 24-hour buses which are at risk, which particularly put those who are using those night buses and 24-hour routes at risk of not being able to carry out their commuting patterns as they previously have.
Brilliant. Thank you both. It was really, really good to hear your views, to hear about your work, your research, the patterns and trends you've seen, and to generally hear about the work that you and your organisations are doing in this area.
Thanks very much to Letty and Mark for taking part, and thanks to those of you listening. You can find other episodes of our City Bites podcast at our website at futureoflondon.org.uk. and you can find out more about the Future of London's alumni network, including how to get in touch if you're interested in being involved. Bye for now.